Welcome to 8 from the 8th, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis's Community Development Podcast Series. I'm Faith Weekly with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. This podcast will examine the emergence of manufactured housing as a viable homeownership option for low and moderate income Americans who want to build wealth. There are several reasons why this is the right time for this to happen. Today, the economy and the housing markets continue to rebound from the havoc brought on by the Great Recession. Policymakers are seeking ways to reformat the government-sponsored enterprises, the Federal Housing Administration, and consumer protections. The manufactured housing industry is generating a new innovative mixture of tools and oversight to develop high-quality housing at reasonable prices. And lastly, the lack of wage growth for many Americans will require new ideas on housing options across the country. The evolution of manufactured housing has shown, when done right, it offers an affordable, energy-efficient, scalable, and appreciating housing alternative to traditional stick-built homes. Today I'm speaking with Doug Ryan, CFED, Corporation for Enterprise Development, Director of Affordable Homeownership. In this role, he leads CFED's homeownership efforts, including the Innovations in Manufactured Housing, I'm Home initiative. Doug has spent his entire career in the affordable housing field with more than 20 years' experience working in federal and local housing programs. Doug Ryan, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Launched in January 2005, I'm Home, or Innovations in Manufactured Homes, is an initiative designed to unlock the potential of high-quality manufactured housing as a key source of affordable and appreciating housing. Why does the I'm Home initiative focus on manufactured housing rather than modular housing?
There are a few things. First, while modular and manufactured homes can look similar and, in fact, may be built in the same facilities, modular homes are almost exclusively placed on private land through fee-simple transactions, typically like site-built homes. But about 43% of manufactured homes are in communities, or parks, as they're sometimes known, where homeowners have less long-term security, loan options, and consumer protections, each of which limits the home's asset-building potential. So if you add to that, that no communities or lenders that I know about limit the choices of modular home buyers, you understand why we're focused on manufactured housing. For example, jurisdictions across the country do zone out manufactured homes, or they add restrictions to limit a family's options. And in addition to that, many lenders simply won't offer financing unless the home meets stringent standards, many of which have little underwriting value to the lender. So the marginalization of manufactured homes and homeowners is why CFED stepped up into this area. It's a group of homeowners that are outside the mainstream of housing policy, lending, and land use rules. And this has largely happened under the radar.
What barriers still exist to prevent owners of manufactured homes from building wealth through homeownership?
There are a few. Building off the issues that I just mentioned, for example, the lack of security when you own a home on someone else's land is probably the primary one. In many states, a community can give a family just a few weeks' notice to vacate the lot, meaning evicting the family, which too often means abandoning a home that would cost $5,000, $15,000, even more to move. This lack of security devalues the home and forces prices down, reducing appreciation. Add to this that many localities restrict how you can relocate or where you can relocate an existing home to, further forces prices down. And in another way, the uncertainty of lot rent increases. So people pay rent on lots that they don't own to site their home that they do own, that these lot rents are nearly in every state unregulated. This also reduces the values of homes. For example, if my lender or a potential buyer of my home expects lot rent increases every year, it's going to reduce the amount that he or she has to pay their mortgage back with, and that limits the value of the home. Finally, the lack of lender competition in the space raises costs to borrowers. The lack of a secondary market to encourage new lenders, the role of captive finance operations, and the integrated nature of the industry all raises costs and restricts wealth-building opportunities for these families.
How has the I'm Home initiative sought to address these barriers?
in a couple different ways. Firstly, we advocate for what we call fundamental freedoms for homeowners, meaning simple things, really, that the family should have the right to organize and meet on site in these communities. They should be able to sell their homes at will without the community owner rejecting people for no reason. And they should have the access to dispute resolution processes outside the control of the community owners. For example, if I'm going to complain about the water and sewer system on my property, I should be able to go to an outside party to resolve that rather than be forced off the property and have to move my home or abandon my home. We believe that better organized homeowners mean better outcomes. And this can also lead to better law that can help families control the community. For example, 19 states across the country have laws that incentivize the sale of communities to homeowners. That figure should be 50 states. So we look to mainstream manufactured housing and existing programs. For example, far too many communities do not look at manufactured homes in their communities as part of the consolidated planning process. This essentially excludes it from home and CDBG funds, for example. But just as important, this exclusion segregates the homes and residents from broader policy decisions, such as infrastructure planning. All these things harm homeowners. And this means that we have an aggressive communication strategy at OM Home. We have a campaign to highlight the aesthetic appeal of the homes. As you noted earlier in the broadcast, these homes have improved in quality and appearances immensely. And we have also long talked up the energy efficiency of these homes, and in particular some new models that have come out in recent years. And we also continue to challenge folks on the stigma, the stereotype that people have about these products, and the questionable practices of some industry players and beyond. We need to get more lenders in this area. That's really the fundamental issue here. The more lenders and the more regulators understand about these products, the better manufactured homeowners and potential buyers will be.
Doug, OM Home and its partner, Next Step, are working with manufacturers to build new energy efficiency homes that will blend into local communities and be affordable to families with low and moderate incomes. What is Next Step, a social enterprise, doing to support the large-scale delivery of affordable and energy-efficient manufactured homes that appreciate and help families build wealth?
Absolutely. Next Step is key to this whole endeavor that we're working on. Next Step, under Stacey Epperson's leadership, has focused nonprofits across the country on the use of high-quality manufactured homes in new and replacement development. Scale is the key, though. Early on, it was important for Next Step to show that these homes can work for a family, even on a small scale. For example, in parts of Kentucky or in Montana or in Arizona, they can show that manufactured housing can fit into a community and can work for a particular family's budget. Now Next Step is working with manufacturers, lenders, and utilities to demonstrate how these homes can deliver financial, community, and environmental benefits to all these parties, basically saying that this is a good deal for the homeowner, this is a good deal for the community because it fits in, it's a good deal for the utility as they meet their energy efficient goals, and it's a good deal for the manufacturer and for the industry lenders who will sell more units and make better loans that perform well. And we're really excited about this because in the next couple months, Next Step and CFED will have more to share about this as the program takes hold. And on a related note, CFED, Next Step, FAHI, and Virginia Tech, with support from Wells Fargo and NeighborWorks America, are developing a body of research to demonstrate the energy inefficiency of many of the older homes in Appalachia and the potential of replacement. This will serve as a baseline for much of the work moving forward. So in essence, we can show that the older homes are so expensive to maintain and operate because of their energy inefficiencies that replacement of them, even with a new loan, can be a better deal for many families in Appalachia. And we think that model can be replicated across the country.
So 50,000 manufactured home communities in the U.S., more commonly called mobile home parks, present special challenges to efforts to help homeowners build wealth and achieve financial security. How is CFED working with ROC, Resident-Owned Communities USA, to promote asset building for homeowners in manufactured housing communities?
These families in communities across the country face tremendous hurdles, unlike homeowners of site-built homes. ROC USA has, through its network across the country, helped convert over 170 communities, starting in New Hampshire and then building off into this national network. That includes over 10,000 homes to cooperatives. They've made these communities into cooperatives. What that means is that these families are insulated from redevelopment an eviction. So, for example, if a community owner just wanted to convert this to a condominium or a shopping center, in many states the families had no recourse. But if you own the community as part of a cooperative, you're protected from that. And the research has shown that a cooperative also results in lower lot rents, so you're paying less for the land underneath your home. The home appreciates faster and better, and you have a chance at better loan products. Each of these things helps build wealth. So we think that the evidence is quite clear that cooperatives are in the interest of the homeowners and the community and everybody else, and that's why we want to bring this model forward. This Rock USA right now works in about 14 states, and CFED is working with Rock USA to expand that footprint to key states where we think this model can take off and have some real impact. But communication is the key to this as well. So when Rock USA President Paul Bradley speaks about this work, or when I highlight it in a presentation to a conference at sites across the United States, the audience is always amazed about the lack of security that these families have. The co-op model just makes sense to housing advocates, to lenders, to policymakers, but far too few people know about it. So the way to get more economic security for families and manufactured housing communities is to broaden this model in states where Rock USA works now and into new states. Just as a point of reference, for decades, since the HUD rental housing contract expiration crisis took hold starting in the 80s and the 1990s, advocates across the country highlighted the value of preservation. ROC's model of preservation, plus those done by housing authorities and land trusts and other nonprofits in this space, is really the same thing, but you're saving more homes, you're preserving more affordable housing at a much lower cost. We often say that manufactured housing is the largest source of unsubsidized affordable housing in the country, and it is. This preservation of manufactured home communities just makes sense on that sense alone.
Doug, owners of manufactured homes are often limited from obtaining traditional home mortgages, which are less expensive than loans from manufactured home dealers. How is CFED working with its partners to promote and test responsible and appropriate manufactured housing mortgage lending?
There's a couple things going on that I'd like to highlight. First and foremost, and I think really at this point in time the most important, is the so-called duty-to-serve rule. Congress mandated in 2008 that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac invest in manufactured housing, along with in rural housing and the preservation of affordable housing. Their regulator, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, issued a proposed rule in 2010 but never finalized it because of various things that are going on with the GSEs, of course. In the next month or two, we fully expect a new proposed rule to come out from the FHFA that will mandate the investment in manufactured home loans as well as the preservation of manufactured housing communities. So we do think that once Fannie and Freddie get back into the space more aggressively as mandated by the law, they will help come up with new and innovative products. We've already been talking to Fannie and Freddie about this effort. We've been speaking to lenders across the country that might get into this space once they had a secondary market available to them. And there's an opportunity here to do some interesting things in home-only loans that have lots of security for the lender and for the homeowner, for example, as well as in the preservation of communities. We think this is a big deal, and this could be a game changer on many fronts. It's not going to solve everything, but we know it's going to get more lenders interested. And getting more lenders interested will make the competition more vibrant and the costs to families lower. Now, that said, other partners are already doing stuff in different pockets of the country that should be replicated. Rock USA is working with a credit union, for example, in New York State, to deliver a low-cost, high-quality home-only loan to cooperatives in that state. That needs to be replicated in other states across the country where at all possible. And also, I've just been speaking to lenders in different parts of the country, in Montana and California, just as a couple examples, who are doing interesting things in communities or with manufactured homeowners that really should be given more attention to and replicated to their colleagues and others and other resources. And we think there's an opportunity to do a lot more if people just recognize the value of manufactured housing.
Many consumer protections that help other homeowners don't apply to people in manufactured homes. What policy recommendations does CFED support to achieve the goal of delivering market-based solutions that help owners of manufactured housing build assets?
It really comes to the fundamental question about mainstreaming manufactured housing in communities and lending and in policy and the things that we've already spoken about in many ways. Just as an example, the more people think about manufactured housing or good manufactured housing as an asset to their community, as something that they can build on, the more likely the families in those homes are going to be protected. As an example, we need to be sure that the reasonable protections that have been extended to manufactured home loan borrowers under Dodd-Frank are retained. In essence, they extended, with some minor changes, they extended the protections that mortgage borrowers have to home-only borrowers. We think that makes a lot of sense, and that should not be, we should not lose those rights. And that is a very grave worry right now. That said, families also need to be part of the community and recognized as such. We need to include them into the conversations about consolidated planning. We need to recognize their right to organize and meet on-site in the communities, to be able to air their grievances without fear of retaliation, all these kinds of things that many of us would just take for granted. Homeowners in manufactured housing communities shouldn't be treated any differently simply because they own the home and not the lot. We do think, again, that the mainstreaming of policy and lending rules and lending and loan protections are extended to these families, the consumer protections will be retained, will become mainstream, and these families will no longer be as marginalized as they sometimes are.
Doug, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
We've been speaking with Doug Ryan, CFED's Director of Affordable Housing Initiatives. For more information about the 8 from the 8th, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis Community Development Series, please visit www.stlouisfed.org. Thank you for listening.